From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. And on this day, a Plum Committee assignment for freshman Democratic Congressman Jared Golden. And a new program to provide tablet computers to Maine prisoners won't cost taxpayers anything, but critics say the program could be expensive for prisoners and their families. That's ahead in a moment. Freshman Congressman Jared Golden has been handed a prime assignment to serve on the House Armed Services Committee. Golden says he'll use that position to ensure that U.S. troops get the equipment and training they need. Mal Leary has more.
Golden recalls that when he was training as a Marine to be deployed to Afghanistan, there were not enough rifles to go around. But as he puts it, Marines make do.
I spent the first several weeks training with whatever stick felt appropriately heavy to match an M16.
He also remembers that at the time of his deployment in 2004, there was a disconnect between the debate on equipping troops in the region and the reality on the ground.
I heard later that the big political debate back here in the United States was about up-armored Humvees for our troops fighting in Iraq. Meanwhile, we were driving around in Toyota Hiluxes.
Golden says these are examples of how those on the front lines are too often shortchanged on training and equipment. And he says as fewer and fewer members of Congress have military experience, he plans to advocate for those who are engaged in ground combat or who will be after basic training. Golden says he also will be in a position to help the other members of the congressional delegation advocate for defense jobs at Bath Iron Works, the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, and other contracting operations. For the delegation in general, Golden's appointment to armed services adds even more political punch, says UMaine political science professor Mark Brewer.
Many states fail to have any delegates or any members of Congress represented on that committee, and Maine has two.
Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree and Republican Senator Susan Collins serve on their respective appropriations committees, and independent Senator Angus King serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Brewer says that clout is important when budget items are being negotiated in committee. And he says Golden's appointment may also be an indicator that Democrats sense that the GOP will mount a major campaign to defeat Golden 2 years from now.
I think Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic House leadership recognize, you know, hey, this is a seat, you know, we'd like to keep, and maybe this is a down payment on that.
Brewer says there's already speculation that former Congressman Bruce Poliquin will try to reclaim the seat in 2020. Golden says he's focused on the job of representing the 2nd Congressional District for the next 2 years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The University of Southern Maine's moving forward with a plan to change its name in an effort to attract more students. Willis Ryder Arnold has that story.
The idea to rename the school was floated last year by USM President Glenn Cummings. He says USM officials have decided to continue exploring the potential change to the University of Maine, Portland.
The question is, why are you doing it? And the number one reason is we don't actually have a business plan that's sustainable. We actually will be struggling with demographic decline for the next 10 years.
The idea to rename the school was floated last year by USM President Glenn Cummings. He says USM officials have decided to continue exploring the potential change to the University of Maine, Portland. In a presentation to reporters, school officials released polling indicating that the Gorham campus's proximity to Portland will attract more students from outside the state and also get the attention of high school guidance counselors. The change was roundly criticized by State Senator Bill Diamond, a USM alum, in a Portland Press Herald op-ed last week. President Cummings says some critics fail to recognize that the school has changed its name before.
I smile a little bit at it in the sense they say, well, you know, we've always been this name. I'm thinking, no. When my grandmother graduated in 1927 from the Gorham Normal School, we've had 6 name changes in 90 years.
The school's polling also indicates that 57% of current students and 66% of alumni oppose the name change. One student, Ryder Colwaite, is open to the idea.
It's not that much difference. I think including Portland is a good idea for how much Portland's changing and gentrifying and becoming way too expensive to live in. I guess it'd be a good move to get more people to recognize where we are instead of saying Southern Maine.
School officials hope to hold several community dialogue events throughout the spring. After that, the change would need to be approved by the Board of Trustees, with the aim of seeking legislative approval shortly thereafter. This timeline projects an effective name change in summer or fall of 2021. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
Nearly 200 inmates in the Maine state prison system will soon have access to secure digital tablet technology and limited texting. It's part of a new initiative at the Department of Corrections to enhance educational programming and prepare prisoners to reenter society. As Susan Sharon reports, the tablets are being provided at no cost to taxpayers, but there is concern about related fees charged to prisoners and their families.
Around the country, tablet technology is making its way into jails and prisons. More than 18 states, including Maine, have adopted some form of specialized tablets that are distributed by private vendors like Chicago-based Edovo, a startup that got off the ground about 6 years ago. Mitchell Peterman is a company spokesperson.
To date, we've scaled to over 100 facilities. We've provided educational resources to over 100,000 incarcerated individuals, and we've seen a really dramatic rate of growth and kind of adoption within the corrections industry.
Peterman says Edovo, which stands for Education Over Obstacles, has worked with a design firm to create tablet devices that contain bulletproof glass, shatterproof casings, and can hold up in a correctional setting. In other words, they're tough, and they operate on a secure communication platform that's closely monitored. Prisoners can't access the internet. What they are encouraged to do, says Acting Corrections Commissioner Randy Liberty, is to take part in education and self-improvement programs.
It allows them to program for whatever their particular need is, substance abuse, mental health. It could be decision-making, risk-taking. It could be someone working on their GED. And for every 2 hours that they do their programming, they get an hour's worth of entertainment. They can watch a movie. They can read a book.
They'll also be able to pursue vocational training for job certifications. But the tablets won't be distributed to individual inmates. Instead, they'll be shared on prison pods. Each inmate will have a unique login so they can pick up with courses where they've left off. They'll also have access to a messenger app where they can communicate with friends and family. The first 10 messages are free, but after that, there's a fee for the communications.
There's a texting component, and the texting is just like a telephone call for incarcerated facilities. When the individual makes a request to someone on the outside, and they can either accept or not. And if they accept the texting process, the inmate or the inmate's family pays for those texts. And that's where the company is able to make their money at no cost to the taxpayers.
The cost ranges from $10 a month for 250 messages to $50 a month for 2,000. Each message is 160 characters. Joe Jackson of the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition says he hasn't seen the specific policy yet or the details of the contract, but he's worried about how prisoners will afford the new texting option.
That's the part that we feel the most upset about. While prisoners are gaining something from this, it feels like that they are also going to be the hardest hit when it comes to, and especially families of lower income families are going to be the hardest hit when it comes to being able to communicate. So just this cause seems like it adds another barrier to it. But overall, the concept is good.
The prison population is a captive audience dependent on private companies that supply telephone service and even goods in prison commissaries around the country. Last year, the Prison Policy Initiative produced a report that pegged the cost paid for those services at nearly $3 billion. The Prisoner Advocacy Group found that increasingly the cost of corrections is being shifted to incarcerated people and their families. But Commissioner Liberty says recidivism also carries a high cost, and if training and education can help prisoners avoid coming back into the system, he thinks initiatives like this one can help pay for themselves. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.